So, Emily, how did you find out about this story?
Really, I was just scrolling on Instagram and, you know, I noticed a lot more people given the pandemic and then going into, you know, May and June when we had these protests after the death of George Floyd, more people were sharing social media posts about the way to, you know, help different organizations. And so I started just seeing these posts about community fridges pop up, and I was just really curious because I'd never heard of them before.
Turns out community fridges full of food for the taking have been popping up in response to the pandemic, as people out of work need more help just to make ends meet. This kind of thing is called mutual aid, and it's one example of a Philadelphia tradition that's gone on for over a century. Why is mutual aid so Philly, and how is it helping sustain neighborhoods during the pandemic? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY's Emily Scott looked into the concept of mutual aid, past and present. We started by talking about the fridges. So I'm walking down the street and I come up on one of these fridges and I open it up. What would I find in there?
You'd open the door and you'd see fresh kale, heirloom tomatoes, zucchini, apples, and even also like cold bottled water, all for free. And it comes from a lot of different places. It could be, you know, people in the neighborhood walking by who maybe are like, oh, I have excess amount of this type of fruit or vegetable that I probably won't use before it gets bad, so let me just throw it in this in the fridge. Or some of the fridge organizers have been collaborating with either restaurants that, you know, especially during the pandemic, had a lot more food that would have been thrown out, or they're working with farm shares that deliver these boxes to different places all across the city, and also have an excess amount, during the pandemic.
So that's so interesting. What's the idea behind these community refrigerators?
It's a form of mutual aid, and I think for people who may not know what mutual aid is, it's really about creating a community or network to find solutions to meet one another's needs. Really, the difference between mutual aid and charity is that, you know, everyone cares and looks out for each other. Kind of off a motto of thinking, you know, give what you can and take what you need. And how it works with the refrigerators is it's a way to, you know, make fresh food more accessible for people who need it. The organizer saying it helps alleviate food insecurity, which is especially important now during the pandemic when food banks and pantries are overwhelmed. And it also helps cut down on waste. And at a time, you know, when we've seen a lot of issues being everyone being home during the pandemic, we're creating way more waste.
Who are these refrigerators run by?
One of the people I spoke to, her name's Michelle Nelson. She's a small business owner. And she decided to start a community fridge after she went to go visit her hometown in New York and saw one on a street corner.
I thought it was just such a cool idea. And I said, you know, this just reminds me of the food waste that we have in America. And the main culprit is fruits and vegetables. They get wasted the most.
And so she decided to look for a fridge after visiting New York and found it really easy. She really just was looking on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace and found that like a lot of people have excess refrigerators and that it's really easy to just acquire one.
Does she run it by herself? Does she have a group of people she works with?
There are now four Mama T fridges, and that name really just comes from she has a t-shirt business called Mama T. She's also running three other fridges now, one in East Kensington, one in Spring Garden, and one in Brewery Town. And she works with volunteers who, you know, help check on it daily.
Make sure it's clean, make sure it has fresh fruits and vegetables every day. It might sound like a very wild idea of a fridge being plugged in outside, but it is possible. It's just a matter of finding a host, a location that believes in the mission and doesn't mind having, you know, just having a heart to just try this with you.
She said her goal is to have 20 fridges around the city, but, you know, she said she'd be happy to see even more than that.
Wow. And so how have the neighbors responded? I mean, they were walking down the street and they come upon this bright yellow fridge. How had they responded to all of this?
Michelle said she remembered like the first day the fridge was up and running. People were like very curious and wanting to know what it was.
But once we explained what the fridge was about and what it was for, everyone just was overcome with emotion.
She said it's been really successful among neighbors, you know, everyone reaching out to her that lives in the neighborhood.
Overwhelming of people just giving us kudos and this is great and how can we help?
When we come back.
Even when times are really scary, like this pandemic is, we made it kind of like a mission that we would just do more and never ever stop doing what we do.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking to WHYY's Emily Scott about the revival of mutual aid in Philly. You know, the term mutual aid, it's kind of an old-fashioned term for something that has been going on for a long time in this country, right?
Yeah. If we want to talk about it in the United States specifically, it really picked up in the 18th century. With the exception of churches, mutual aid constituted like the most popular form of volunteer work in the U.S. from the 1850s and well into the 1900s. And this was at a time when we had, you know, a large poor and working class population. There was a lot of immigrants moving to the United States. And these mutual aid networks, they performed a lot of different functions in society. And so they were really created because there was a lack of social safety nets for people. Some of them instituted like a cradle to grave system. So that would mean starting orphanages or hospitals that had full-time doctors. Actually, in Philadelphia, one of the first mutual aid societies was the Free African Society. And that was founded in the 1780s by Richard Allen, who's the founder of the African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Free Africans, as they called themselves, were, you know, wrestling with how to exist in a world that did not provide you like your basic needs.
And I spoke to Reverend Mark Tyler, who's the pastor of Mother Bethel AME in Philly.
Where would a Black person get a loan? Most of the time, the banks would not lend it to you. So, you know, Black folk felt like, you know, they really needed a place that could tend to all these other kind of societal needs.
And he said these types of mutual aid societies were really where people could collectively contribute to a fund that often went to be a real lifesaver for Black people in Philly.
But it continued, right? Mutual aid continued in modern times.
Yeah, I mean, even like 200 years after the founding of the Free African Society, mutual aid was a staple in the Black Panther Party. In the 60s, they helped provide free breakfast programs for neighborhood children, including those in Philly. And they also helped provide free legal aid and drug and alcohol education.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting to me, Emily, is something that you said about how forms of mutual aid really ratchet up in times of struggle.
Yeah, I mean, usually mutual aid is kind of triggered by often some sort of national tragedy or some event that galvanizes people, especially in more modern history. That's kind of how groups like Food Not Bombs got started in the 1980s. You know, that was started by anti-nuclear activists and, you know, they'd recover food that otherwise would be thrown out and they'd make fresh vegan and vegetarian meals that they'd serve in public spaces to anyone who was in need. So when Food Not Bombs came to Philly in the late 90s, one of their main focuses was on responding to protests. So in the early 2000s, what that looked like would be they were at protests surrounding our involvement in the Middle East as part of like the anti-war movement. And they'd often bring along fresh fruits and vegetables to serve to the protesters that would be out during the hot summer months, you know, walking for hours. And today, you know, their work has really more been focusing on Philly's homeless community. You know, they've been serving the protest encampments along the parkway, stopping there every Monday and bringing a cooked meal for those who have been out there since June.
Even when times are really scary, like this pandemic is, we made it kind of like a mission that we would just do more and never ever stop doing what we do.
I spoke to Reed Desert, who's an organizer with the North Philly chapter of Food Not Bombs, and they've been with the group for more than 20 years. And Desert said since COVID, they've really seen their mission be more urgent.
I mean, immediately we were like, we're going to be more needed. Like, even yesterday, we were just doing food deliveries of meals for people that have had their electric and gas shut off and they don't have usable kitchens.
And at the same time, they saw a lot more people reaching out wanting to volunteer.
What other mutual aid groups have popped up to address people's needs since COVID?
We had this group called West Philly Bunny Hop start in early April. We also have a group called Homies Helping Homies in Point Breeze and the Germantown Supply Hub that are really setting up kind of like these makeshift grocery stores with essential goods where everything is free. And Bunny Hop in particular is like has been one of the most successful and widely used mutual aid organizations. They're a food access and distribution services organization, and they're run by Gina Harris and Katie Briggs, who are both chefs and longtime activists.
It was like easy to come together and try to like use our networks to like capture food that was otherwise going to be thrown in the bin.
And so every week they've been setting up tables in Malcolm X Park and Cedar Park in West Philly for contactless pickups of their free prepared food, produce, groceries, and other household items. And since then, they've expanded to other parts of the city, too. They do a weekly setup in Brewerytown, South Philly, and Kensington, too. And similar to like the success that North Philly Food Not Bombs has seen with more people wanting to be involved, Gina Harris told me that since the George Floyd protests, their group has really taken off.
At the end of our like 5 month stretch, we're serving around like 600 families. We went from like 70 families in the first week to 600.
So, Emily, we know that the concept of mutual aid has been around for more than 100 years. But now with so many catastrophic events happening, we're talking about, you know, the Black equality protests, and we're talking about the COVID pandemic. I'm curious from the folks that you talk to, how do they say that their work feels different right now?
People have really had to make connections with their neighbors in ways that, like, maybe in a digital age, we probably wouldn't have in the past. I think there's also this, like, spectrum of people being able to help one another. You know, some people haven't lost their job and have been able to keep their income and maybe even save money. And that's given people more opportunity to share more money and spread that wealth to people who maybe didn't have the privilege or access to be on that level. So when I spoke to Michelle Nelson of the Mama Tea Fridge, she said it's almost with these community fridges, it's almost like a equalizer, particularly for changing and gentrifying neighborhoods.
Because you have people that need the food and then people that move in could provide the food. So that is an awesome relationship. And it helps everyone all around because then everybody gets to know each other better.
I think people are realizing there's value in not being so individualistic. That's also kind of led to a lot of the success for these mutual aid organizations. You know, the more they've been able to share and the more they've been able to help people, the more they've been able to grow.
Well, Emily, I really appreciate you being with us to talk about this today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was WHYY's Emily Scott. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd-Circa. under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We're off Labor Day, but we'll see you Tuesday.